89.3. Companies to watch.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning and thanks for joining us on the Breakfast Huddle. Elliot Danka, Bharati Jagdish and Ryan Huang with you. Hey, so when was the last time you posted something on Facebook or liked something on Facebook?
I think it was just last week, actually.
Hey, not bad.
I do use Facebook quite regularly.
Hey, me too, you know. But I understand from my younger friends that they're never on Facebook. They're on various other platforms, and Facebook rarely comes up for them. I, in fact, liked something on Facebook just last night, and I posted something a couple of weeks ago. Starting to make me feel a bit old, but I think it is no secret, right, that their numbers have been dwindling.
Well, I mean, to be fair, and I think this sentiment of it being old comes from how a certain age group of people use Facebook to spread fake news.
You'll
remember. You'll remember how it announced its daily user numbers had fallen for the first time in history. So there's this debate. As you mentioned, is it really for the younger audience?
Or is it even a matter of age? Because some of us just stay on Facebook because we started at that time on Facebook and our friends are just there. So by default, you know. So it may not be a function of age, just a function of a change in eras. Well, Meta Platforms, which changed its names from Facebook last year as part of Mark Zuckerberg's attempt to shift the company's focus to immersive digital experience, did witness more than $500 billion in market value destroyed. So it's not just dwindling user numbers. Dwindling user numbers are translating to a real cut and a real pain in terms of how much they're losing in terms of value. This is the worst one-day slump in the history of the stock market, by the way.
The crash had pushed Meta out of the top 10 of largest global companies by market value. It was once the world's sixth largest company with a valuation in excess of $1 trillion. Meta has now fallen to the 11th most valuable company in the world with a market cap of $565.4 billion. And they are behind Tencent Holdings. To help us out with this and more is Cheryl Chan, Senior Vice President for Capital Markets at ADDX. Cheryl, good morning. How are you?
Very well. Thank you for having me.
Thanks a lot for helping us. Let's firstly set the stage here. Meta suffering the stock market's biggest one-day wipeout ever earlier this month. What do you think this suggests about how people are reacting to Meta's social networking shift towards the virtual world or what they call the metaverse? Is this coming out as a bit of a flaw?
Well, I think the thing to note is that the plunge in Meta's share price earlier this month was actually triggered, first of all, by a disappointing earnings report that they put out for the fourth quarter of last year, the fourth quarter of 2021. So on 3rd February, this is when they announced their earnings. And the overarching factor that we saw was that they had the first ever drop in daily user numbers. So throughout the years, daily user numbers have actually had steady growth. But recently, there's been a tapering off and even a drop of 1 million globally in numbers, as well as in North America, something close to 1 million. And this actually raises a lot of questions about whether Facebook or Meta has hit some kind of a user growth ceiling. And then we also saw that profits were lower than expected. The other thing that has come up quite a bit is that since Apple changed its privacy policy, so previously Apple... When users would sign in, they have to opt out in terms of privacy. They had the opt-out option somewhere in the app. They might not be able to see it. But recently, Apple started requiring app developers to explicitly ask users for permission to track their activity across the internet. So very much of an opt-in for users. This has had a large impact on Facebook or Meta's earnings from advertising revenues. And even your CFO warned that this change could actually represent headwinds of something like $10 billion in 2022. So, you know, it's really a large impact. I mean, Facebook is saying that this is going to hurt small businesses. Small businesses have been relying on personal ads to grow. Apple actually is saying that this move is very important to protect users, privacy. Whichever side you're on, really, this has had a large impact on Meta's earnings. And I think what investors are also realizing is that this is much in contrast to what the other tech giants have put out. They've had some very healthy growth in the last quarter. So I'm talking about the FANG stock, stocks, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, Microsoft, Google, these have actually reported healthy growth versus Meta.
You see, a drop in the number of users, more competition, changes to privacy policies, some of the issues that Meta has been grappling with, analysts feel they should have anticipated, they should have been prepared for this, they should have taken preemptive steps earlier on. What's fundamentally wrong here? Are there things that the company needs to change, perhaps, at you know, in terms of how it predicts the future and prepares for it?
I think you're right. You know, they have awareness of this change in dynamics through the years. So as early as 2012, there were signs that Facebook was actually losing momentum with younger users. And this problem has actually deepened in recent years. So they're well aware, they're trying hard to actually change this. I think what some data points that we had was that in a survey of teens in the U.S. last year, whereas previously, before 2012, 42% of teens said that Facebook was their favorite social media platform. This plunged to only 2% last year, and this figure is really much behind the likes of Snapchat, which is at 35%, TikTok, which is at 30%, and I guess the silver lining is Instagram is at 22% of teens who say that it is their favorite social media. So, of course, Facebook or Meta owns Instagram as well. In any case, we see that the competition is really fierce. If you're a teen, you want to be on the same social network that all your friends are on, right? So it's a self-fulfilling kind of policy and momentum that if your friends are not here on this platform, on this social media network, then you wouldn't be either. So I think these things changed for Facebook or Meta since many years ago, and they realized this problem, which is why there's a bit of a retooling. There was a name change from Facebook to Meta, clearly, and that sparked the beginning of their efforts to sort of win back the youth of America and the rest of the world.
Cheryl, you talked about a change in dynamics and consumption there. Instagram, which, as you mentioned, is owned by Meta, introduced Reels. And Reels is pretty much a TikTok copycat, if you don't mind me putting it that way. Algorithms have changed such that social media influencers have put more focus on Reels. We see, and Instagram and themselves have come out to say that you will see more Reels come out instead of photographs. Obviously, TikTok is the challenger here. What are you hearing in terms of how big Instagram could go with Reels?
Well, I think Reels is really interesting. So, you know, for those of us who haven't been on Facebook recently, it's a short video feature. So it's present in both Facebook and Instagram. Looks and feel, as you say, you know, very much like TikTok. And Meta started this in the last 2 years to rival TikTok. And they actually, you know, earlier this week announced that Reels will be expanded to 150 countries and also have more editing and sharing features. So quite excited to see how that's going to look and how that compares to TikTok, right? we think that Reels for Meta, they are saying that we should be patient. Mark Zuckerberg is calling for patience during this period when they are pushing out Reels because for a start, they think that revenues are going to be going to grow at a lower rate compared to how it was with their traditional news feeds and stories. But they also believe that the audience, the people who are using social media, will be increasingly preferring this kind of short video format. So they are really pushing ahead with this despite it being a slow start for them. And they are very determined to make this significant transition into Reels so that it becomes very much a central part of the Facebook and Instagram experience. So, as I said, very excited to see how that's going to look. And I think just talking a bit about competition as well, you know, TikTok has also come under fire in recent months. As you remember, there was an investigative report by the Wall Street Journal because TikTok was showing some inappropriate content to minors. So it's not just Facebook or Meta that's facing a lot of these things from regulators. I think there is just a very large push to have social media platforms be safe for young people. I think we care a lot about our teens and young adults, and this is something very important that government agencies and regulators need to start acting on, and making sure that social media is safe for everyone, young and old.
Yeah, I mean, Facebook has been under scrutiny before for this, for putting profits over user safety. At this point, yes. You did talk about the privacy issues, the privacy policies that we'll be seeing emerging and that continue to dog platforms such as these. What do you think Meta will do to overcome some of these challenges? I mean, don't forget, we're also looking to Google's implementation of its Privacy Sandbox initiative to Android.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, well, I would say that personalized advertising is the fundamental business model of a lot of social media platforms, not just Meta. So they are not the only ones that are affected by this. And this is really the reason why social media platforms were able to disrupt the traditional media industry in the first place. However, with these privacy policies from Apple, from Android, we understand a pushback against hyper-personalization. So I think the way in which Meta and the other social media platforms can fight back is instead of this hyper-personalization, they can find a sort of medium ground, where you don't go with the individuals. Instead of targeting individuals, there is a consensus that these social media platforms, they can instead target advertising based on groups and archetypes. So users are not categorized based on what they input into their phone, but on behavioral demographic traits. So each category of users get exposed to advertising that is relevant for that group, and you don't have to make it, as I mentioned, hyper-personalized. So a lot of these platforms, and Meta being one big one, is actually working very hard to be prepared for this change, and I believe that they can actually adapt their business models quite quickly to suit this.
Cheryl, just going to put a two-in-one question here as we try and wrap up this segment. Facebook or Meta has had a history of purchasing companies. You know, they purchased the Oculus VR business back in 2014. Now they're getting into Meta. They purchased Instagram in 2012. Now they're trying to rival TikTok. Are you expecting Facebook or Meta to continue big purchases like that? And B, what is your current growth outlook for Meta?
Yes, I think that the pivot into the metaverse is definitely a very significant move for Facebook or Meta. To your first question, I believe that they will continue to make big purchases because this has been really something that Facebook has been doing since their early beginnings. In terms of growth outlook, I think that Facebook Meta has had a very good record of rebounding from past share price dips. And, you know, investors have really seen dips in the past as being very good opportunities or chances to buy into the shares, as I think a lot were very bullish about long-term growth prospects. Now, we see this time to be a bit different. There was no big rebound since early February, and I think overnight the stock went down even more to below 200, which I think is a bit of a key number for investors as well. So this actually suggests that investor optimism has been very much dampened, although I would also say that the falling share price is also due to the larger backdrop. You know, we all know about the geopolitical tensions, the possible war that might break out between Russia and Ukraine. We know about inflation, about central banks raising interest rates or expectations that they would raise multiple times this year. So 2022 is not really a great time or great year for public stocks anyway. So that has also affected the way that Meta has performed. But I would say that what's noteworthy is the majority of analysts that are covering Meta still think that it should be a buy. So they are still recommending a buy based on the deep discount that the stock is now on offer at. So don't write off Meta completely. The company still has considerable resources. They, in the past, have done a lot of purchases, and I think that will continue to happen. They understand the enormity of the problem around the teams and users moving away from them. So they're not just going to sit by and allow large chunks of their market share to slip away. I think they'll be coming back with a strong response.
All right. Thank you very much for that analysis, Cheryl. Cheryl Chan, Senior VP for Capital Markets at ADDX. Thanks for joining us, Cheryl. You stay safe and take care, yeah?
Thank you.